KINY Juneau. Now from the Alaska Airlines Studio, local first news for Juneau and all of Southeast Alaska.
I'm Jordan Lewis, and these are the stories we're following this hour. The viral rash-causing and headline-grabbing disease that was first diagnosed in Fairbanks is getting a new name. The Juneau Community Foundation's Douglas Dornan Foundation Fund is accepting applications, and Senator Jesse Keel joined Action Line this morning. But first, the viral rash-causing and headline-grabbing disease that was first diagnosed in Fairbanks in 2015 is getting a new name, boreal pox. Known up to now as Alaska pox, the disease is caused by a virus in the orthopox family that includes smallpox and other pox viruses. There are only 7 known cases to date, 6 being in Fairbanks that resulted in relatively mild effects that resolved on their own, and 1 on the Kenai Peninsula that led to the death of an elderly man whose immune system was weakened after treatments for cancer. News of the name change came from Catherine Newell, a U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention epidemiology field officer working at the Alaska Department of Health, who on Tuesday spoke at a conference hosted by the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium, saying, "We are changing the name from Alaska pox virus to boreal pox virus, which is what it will now be known as from now on." There are 2 reasons for the name change, which is already shown in the Alaska Department of Health's website and is expected to be made official in coming weeks by the CDC and the World Health Organization. One reason is scientific. While the discovery is new and the only cases found to date have been in Alaska, there is mounting evidence that the virus has been circulating in populations of small mammals for decades and is expected to be in boreal regions beyond Alaska. The second reason to change the name to boreal pox is more philosophical. The World Health Organization in 2015 took a stance against naming newly discovered human diseases after geographic areas to avoid unfair stigmas. The Juneau Community Foundation's Douglas Dornan Foundation Fund is accepting applications for funding support from April 1st through June 1st of this year. This fund awards grants to organizations that benefit and enhance the health, education, and welfare of individuals in Southeast Alaska. Since it began, the Douglas Dornan Foundation Fund has distributed $597,984 to more than 110 different organizations, programs, and individuals. Some examples of possible foundation financial support include, but are not limited to, charitable organizations, foundations, or other nonprofit 501c3 organizations, child care institutions, foster parent programs, and early childhood education programs in Southeast Alaska. Applications will be evaluated based on the quality of the program being supported or attended, reasonableness and accuracy of a proposed budget, background experience of the applicant, and support from other sources, as well as appropriateness to the objectives of the fund. To learn more, you can visit the Juneau Community Foundation's website at jcf.org. Senator Jesse Keel joined Action Line this morning to discuss Governor Dunleavy's veto of Senate Bill 140, a bipartisan education bill that would have, for the first time in years, increased the money public schools receive under the state's funding formula.
That was the education formula bill, right? That was going to put a durable increase to education formula per student and for pupil transportation, and then make some other changes, many of them good, a couple of them definitely compromises. And the House and the Senate worked like crazy on that, and the negotiators who cut the final agreement, the final compromises, worked really hard to include the governor. And the governor, I think it's fair to say, did not particularly participate in that process, and he vetoed it when it came to his desk.
Alaska legislators fought to override the governor's education veto, but were unsuccessful.
We tried to override that veto, and it takes, because that's a regular bill, substantive law, that takes 2/3 of the legislature in a joint session, takes 40 votes. We had 39.
And local first news received 2 releases from the Sitka Police Department. On March 28th, the Sitka grand jury indicted 39-year-old Tyler C. Ells of 1 felony count of sexual abuse of a minor in the second degree, and an arrest warrant for $1,000 was issued by the state of Alaska for Ells. He was later reprimanded to the Sitka jail and was released on bail. And then, today, early in the morning, at approximately 2 a.m., a Sitka police officer stopped the vehicle on Catlin Street for speed and failure to use a turn signal. The individual was determined to be suspected of driving under the influence and was arrested for a DUI and later charged with refusal to submit to a chemical test. And alcohol was believed to be a factor. Coming up, federal researchers indicate that the gray whale population along the West Coast is showing signs of recovery. That story when Local First News continues with Grace Dumas.
Federal researchers indicate the gray whale population along the West Coast is showing signs of recovery 5 years after hundreds washed up dead on beaches from Alaska to Mexico. The increase in population numbers comes after the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Association determined in November that the unusual mortality event that began in 2019 has ended. The population began to decline after numbering about 27,000 whales in 2016. The mortality event hits its peak between December 17, 2018 and December 31, 2020. It involved 690 dead gray whales that washed ashore from Alaska to Mexico. Of those, 347 were in the U.S., 316 in Mexico, and 27 in Canada. In an average year, about 35 whales washed up dead in the U.S. 5 years ago, those whales washed up on coastlines in California, Oregon, Washington State, and Alaska. NOAA researchers said the mortality event was due to ecosystem changes in the seas off northern Alaska, which changed access to and quality of prey. The eastern North Pacific gray whales were removed from the endangered species list in 1994, after recovering from the whaling era. The 7th annual traditional games will kick off on April 5th through April 7th in Juneau. Athletes from 29 teams across Alaska, Canada, and the lower 48 will compete in 12 events based on ancient hunting and survival skills of indigenous people. Spectators can attend in person at Juneau Douglas High School or online at Sealaska Heritage Institute's YouTube channel. This event is free. The Alaska House Finance Committee voted to boost funding for public radio and for a youth detox program Monday as it continued to debate the latest draft of the state's upcoming operating budget. The committee is expected to work through the first half of this week on amendments to the $10.4 billion document that will fund government services for the 12 months beginning July 1st. The idea came from Representative Andy Josephson. Josephson has proposed dozens of changes to the budget, but few have been adopted so far. He says the addition for VOA is critical, given the struggles at North Star Behavioral System, a for-profit psychiatric hospital that was subject of critical investigation by the Anchorage Daily News and federal officials. We know that the VOA is the only organization in the state to offer youth substance services. The state has invested in VOA and didn't regret it, he said. Members of the committee adopted only one new budget reduction Monday, a $598,000 cut to the budget of the Alaska Gasline Development Corporation. That is equivalent to the top two salaries at the state-owned corporation. Home ownership is becoming less affordable for Americans who will now likely need to make six figures to afford a home. ABC's Dave Packer reports.
Two separate studies from Zillow and Bankrate finding that homeowners on average would have to make between $106,000 and close to $111,000 in order to comfortably afford a home. That's up 80% from the $59,000 a year Zillow predicted a homeowner would have to make in 2020. The numbers vary by region, with the highest cost of ownership in the West and Northeast. Home prices and higher mortgage interest rates over the last few years far outpacing wage growth. Dave Packer, ABC News.
The United Nations General Assembly designated April 2nd as World Autism Awareness Day back in 2007. The United Nations has used this day to recognize, affirm, and promote the realization of all human rights and fundamental freedoms for autistic people on an equal basis with others. Since 2007, immense progress has been made thanks to hardworking autistic advocates who have made the lived experience of autistic people known to the wider world. The United Nations elaborates, the 2024 observance will, for the first time, seek to provide a truly global overview of the state of affairs in this regard from the perspective of autistic people themselves. Now you're up to date with Local First News. I'm Grace Dumas.